And this is kind of an interesting book. It reminds me a little bit of Jonah. Now, I know Jonah tells his story of what happened to Nineveh, but lots of the time you see Jonah and God, and it's just a story that is between God trying to get a hold of Jonah, trying to get a hold of Jonah's heart, and then God, what God can do with anyone who is willing to repent and turn to Him. Even a nation that was so wicked and so vile that they were going to be destroyed, God was able to save them. Praise the Lord for that. There is hope for any and everyone. And here in the book, in the story of Habakkuk, what you're going to see here is God having a conversation with Habakkuk. Now, I don't know if you pronounce it Habakkuk. I've heard it pronounced that way. I've heard it pronounced Habakkuk. So if I say it differently, it's the same person. Just be lucky I can pronounce it at all, right? So, I struggle with that a little bit. So we work on this. But I want you to understand that this book is God and Habakkuk is talking back and forth. Habakkuk is talking, and you see where this conversation begins with and what this conversation begins with. And it's found in chapter 1, verse number 1 is all we're going to go over tonight. And we're going to give you a little bit of the background setting of how wicked Judah was at this moment in time in history. And then I think you say, how can we make this apply to us today? The nation that we live in today, I believe, is very, very wicked. I believe is on the eve of either revival or ruin. And right now it's headed towards ruin. If we truly don't have a revival. So Habakkuk is seeing what's going on. I'll give you a little overview. He sees what's going on. And he's looking up to God and saying, God, why are you letting this happen? And God says, look, I got a plan. And he tells him his plan that Babylon's going to come and take and destroy the city and take the captives away. And he looks at God and says, why in the world would you do that? They're more wicked than I am. And he begins to explain to him that he is God, and he is on the throne, he has a plan, and he has a purpose. He is going to fulfill his world will in this world at some point in time. And you see this story, you guys see some hope, because you see Jeremiah, and then just a second, during the same time period, Jeremiah comes to him and says, if you will repent, God will not make this happen. You know what? What the king does, takes it, cuts it all out of the book, and throws it in the fire. Not interested in what God has in store. But here's the first thing. The title of tonight's message is Habakkuk's Burden. It says in verse number 1, the burden which Habakkuk, the prophet, did see. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help today. Lord, I pray that you help us. Lord, I know a lot of us have different burdens. And Lord, there's a lot of things that we are concerned with, a lot of things that we're struggling with, a lot of things that we're letting us weigh us down. And Lord, when we see the story about Habakkuk, Lord, the burden he has a burden for his nation. He wants to see things change in his nation, and he takes it to God, the only one that can do anything about it. And Lord, God tells him, just shall we fight. Lord, I pray you help us understand this. Take our burdens to the Lord. Help us to lay them out before you, Lord. Help us to cry out for mercy. Help us to seek, Lord, you working in our hearts so we can work in the hearts of those that are around us. Lord, I pray as we look at this series that we just take the time to understand that we should be burdened for our nation. We should be burdened for those that are lost. We should be burdened that our homes are right and that our churches are right. And Lord, that we listen to you and look for what you have for us in this day and time we live in. Lord, we know you brought us to this moment, this time, and this place for a reason. For such a time as this, as we heard in the story of Esther. Lord, I pray as we see this story, we understand what Habakkuk is going through. We understand when he asks why. But Lord, help us to live by faith, believing that you have all things in control and for our good. And Lord, that our nation is really, truly in need of revival. Without it, Lord, we are also on the eve of destruction, I believe. In Jesus' name, amen. So, Habakkuk takes this burden he has. And if I went around the room, I think most of us would say that we're burdened for our country. I think most of us would say our country is wicked, our country is doing wrong, and that someday God will have to punish it. It's like the one preacher said, if God does not punish America, then he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, there is something that's going on, and many of us would be burdened with our nation and burdened with those who are lost, burdened with the fact our homes need to know Jesus Christ and Christ needs to be the center of it. We need a burden for the people of our cities to know the Lord, and we need a burden for our churches to be the kind of churches that will obey God. We need a burden that our nation would turn back to God. But this man's desire, his burden was that the Lord would move mightily in the hearts of his people. I want you to take notice what he does first with it. He takes this burden to God. He is the only person that is going to help us. And so often we love to talk politics. I know I hear people talk about it. I hear our teenagers talk about it. I mean, it's amazing. Even my I got this great deal for the paper, and my youngest son, and my youngest son, you know, he's a card. He's a great guy. And he's been reading some of the articles about politics, and he thinks he knows everything. It's great. It's wonderful. He said, "Dad, did you know this? And Dad, did you know this? Did you know that?" And they gave me the paper to Virginia Pilot for 3 months. It only cost $13. My wife likes the coupons on Sunday. So, and then they gave me a $5 gift card. So it was like $8 for 3 months. So you're looking at what? You know, less than $3 a month. You're looking at like 60, 70 cents a week. The Sunday paper costs probably a couple dollars. So that was a good deal. But my son's like, and I was like, "Son, you know that's going to get over in another month or so." He said, "Well, Dad, how much does the paper cost? Maybe I'll buy it," because he wants to know what's going on in his nation. And there's only certain portions of it we let him read, obviously. But, you know what? What do we do with our burden? I mean, if we are really, truly love this country and we really, truly want to see revival, what do we do with our burdens? We like talking about it one to another, don't we? We like to, I don't want to say use the word complain, but that's probably what we like to do with what's going on. But do we take our burden to God? Do we cry it out to Him? Do we seek His understanding of what's going on? And that's what Habakkuk is doing right here. He has a burden that he sees. You see what it says? The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. And I thought about that word "see" for a second. And it's not just the burden that he felt. He saw it. I was talking to Travis yesterday, and I mentioned this. And I was talking to Travis and trying to encourage him a little bit. And Travis loved to go soul winning. And I had gone with Travis some. And I said, "Travis, you know, you encouraged me over the years. If you're soul winning, that's something that I like to be better at. I like to have that as a strength." And you know what he told me? He says, "The more you do it, the better you're going to get. If you don't do it, you're never going to get any better at it." And he says, "You're never going to get that burden until you're willing to go tell other people." And I tell people this all the time, because sometimes, you know what? Kids don't act the way they're supposed to. And sometimes our van kids don't act the way they're supposed to. And I tell them, "Look, just get on van visitation or bus visitation, go visit their houses, knock on their doors, and you see that a 4-year-old at 10 o'clock Saturday morning, you know, is answering the door because mom and dad are sleeping off last night, whatever happened last night, and they have nothing. Kids coming to church without eating breakfast and just not, you know, no guidance, there's no structure there. Somebody, you know, somebody's got to have a burden for them." And now, I do think they should sit still, sit straight, and sit quiet. I don't think they're going to get that day one, though, because they don't get that anywhere else. But you know what? If you go and spend time with them, if you go knock on their doors and encourage them to come, you're going to get a burden for them. You're going to see them. If you sit in a classroom and teach them, I don't hear very many of our teachers that visit that will say, "You know what? I don't think we should run vans. I don't think we should run buses." Usually the people that do that are people who just, they don't see the burden. They don't see a burden. And I'm not talking about kids that are disrespectful. I'm not talking about kids that came and want to cause a problem. I'm talking about us having a burden for people. It's not just children. It's our nation. And what do we do with it? What is it we do with our burden? And we're going to see here that in verse number 2, he says, "Oh Lord," he's taking it to God. And this is what we need to do. We take it to God, and you know, when we pray, we're not going to change God. God's going to change us. And when we go to God in prayer with our burden for our nation and for our revival that we need in our nation, God's going to show us what we need to do and what we need to change. And that's what this book is about. At the beginning of the book, he's like, "God, there's wickedness all around us. Why aren't you doing something, God? Why aren't you changing it? Don't you see that men want to marry men and women want to marry women? Why don't you just zap them or something?" You know what? God changes Habakkuk. And at the end, he just says, Lord, no matter what happens, I'm going to give thanks anyway. So that's the burden he has. So we're just laying a little bit of the foundation tonight. We're going to look in Jeremiah. I'm going to read a little bit about the different what's going on. I think you will see how this is comparable to the things that are going on in our nations, and how this will be something that we lay a foundation. And next week when we hear Habakkuk go to the Lord and say, oh, Lord, how long? How long are you going to let this stuff happen? We'll understand what we're talking about. So the first point is a very dark time for Israel. A very dark time for Israel. Habakkuk was living in a dark hour of human history. In the book of Jeremiah, we get the insight into Habakkuk's day and what's going on in his land. Remember, Habakkuk and Jeremiah served the Lord under King Jehoiakim. Just as Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, was preparing his army to conquer Judah and take the captive the people of God, and the same day in which Habakkuk served God, spoke to Jeremiah about the message he was to take to Jehoiakim. Remember that the Jews were God's chosen people. God chose to bless them. God chose to bring them from Abraham. As we learned in our journey through the Bible, as we looked at every book of the Bible in a brief overview, God wanted a testimony. What he wanted from the nation of Israel was to tell the rest of the world, if you are willing to serve God, this is how God can take care of you. He did that when he took those nation, that children of Israel out of the land of Egypt with those 10 plagues and the parting of the Red Sea. It got over all the world what God had done for his people. And God wanted to take these people, bring them right into the promised land, and show every nation around them, this is what God can do. We serve the one true God. And make it a testimony here. And here, this was the people that knew God, and they were called out of Abraham. These were God's chosen people that was being wicked. You say, well, how do we apply that in our day in life? And I says, I know America is not Israel in the day and time. There is an Israel, and that America is different than that. But the America we live in is a nation that God, I believe, brought up pretty much out of nowhere. And God has used this nation to be a lighthouse for many years and send many missionaries throughout the whole world to tell the gospel of Jesus Christ. And just as Israel turned its back on God and God was trying to call them back with Jeremiah, I believe that in the day and time we live in, this book is very much a mirror of what we need to call back our nation also. But what do we do with it? First, we go to God. We let God change us. And then while God's changed us, he can use us then to change the world. Let's go ahead and look here in Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah chapter 36 is just the story of what's going on in this day and period. Show you how dark the hour is here. God sends a message to the king and to the people. They hear the message of God. It's aimed at their evil ways. He is telling them to repent. He is telling them to that the Lord will actually forgive their sin. He'll turn back the judgment if the people will just repent and live the way that God wants them to live. Here, Jeremiah chapter number 36, and we're laying a foundation for the rest of the weeks. Jeremiah chapter 36, verse number 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, for the day I spake unto thee from the days of Josiah even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah, now this is always the intent. God is trying to cause people to turn away from their wicked ways. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I propose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. Now, this is what God many times does to a nation to try to cause them to come back. Now, I'm not saying that all the hurricanes and all the things that happen. But you know what? There's a lot of things that happens in a world and in a nation, especially to very wicked areas, where I think God is calling America to come back. I mean, I think 9/11 was a wake-up call. And it should have been a wake-up call. And then, you know what? People were in the church the following week, and maybe the week after that. But where is our nation at? Has it got any stronger spiritually? No, it hasn't. It didn't care. And see, this is what God is saying. How could God, and that's what Habakkuk's question next week is, why would you use Babylon? They're more wicked than us. He's trying to reach the people that are his own and said, look, turn away from your wicked ways. And that's what he's saying here. And he's saying that they would repent. And then he says that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. God, I don't think takes pleasure in punishing and hurting and trying to do things to cause his people to turn back around. I don't think God ever desired, I know he knew it was going to happen, that Babylon would have to come in and take his people that he loved and, you know, take those children over to a foreign country and where they would bash the older people's heads against a rock and his house where he put his name at, that it would be able to be ransacked and destroyed. I don't think God gets pleasure in that. But what's he doing? He's causing them and saying, look, please, maybe they'll forget. Maybe they will turn from their wicked way. And it says at the end of verse number 3, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. That's what I believe he wants America to do. Turn from the wicked ways that he can forgive their iniquity and their sin. Then Jeremiah called Baruch the son of Neriah. And Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord which he has spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. And Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. And I believe at this point in time that he is in prison. He's unable to go himself. That's why he says, I am shut up. I cannot go in the house of the Lord. Therefore, go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ear of the people and the Lord's house upon the fasting day. And also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. So we see here in verse number 7, it may be they will present their supplications before the Lord and will return every one from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. So we see here that God is saying, I want to forgive them, but if they do not, they're in for, look what it says, the fury and anger of the Lord. Let's keep on reading here in verse number 8. It says, and Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Once again, this is supposed to be the house of God. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah unto Jerusalem. Now, this is kind of interesting, wicked people proclaiming fast. There's a lot of rituals that can happen in the day and time where people are trying to do things to please the Lord, but the first thing God wants us to do is to obey. First thing he wants us to do is turn from our wicked ways. He's not interested in sacrifices from those that are wicked and sinners. He wants us to be righteous first. Let's keep on going. And it says in verse number 10, then read Baruch. Now, once again, they have fasted supposedly before the Lord. Then read Baruch in the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord in the chamber of Jeriah, the son of Shaphan, the scribe in the higher court in the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house in the ears of all the people. When Micaiah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord. Then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama, the scribe, and Delaiah, the son of Shemaiah, and the Elathan, and the son of Achbor, and Jemariah, and the son of Shaphan, and the Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. So we see here that there's a man who heard, and when he was in the house of God, they've gone now to tell the princes. Therefore, in verse 14, therefore all the princes sent Jehudud, the son of Nephaniah, the son of Shelemiah, the son of Cushai, and Baruch, saying, take in thy hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Now it's kind of interesting. He says, now it came to pass when they heard all the words that they were afraid both one and another. So the princes here. The princes are afraid. And said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king all of all these words. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? And then Baruch answered, and he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth. I wrote them with ink in the book. And then said the princes unto Baruch, go hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. And they went into the king into the court, but they laid up the roll of the chamber of Elshemiah, the scribe and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king said, sent Jehudi to fetch the roll, and he took it out and to Elishmaiah, the scribe's chamber, and Jehudi read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes which stood beside the king. So we see what's going on here. The princes were fearful. They take it to the king, and let's see what the king does with it. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that Jehudi had read three or four leaves. He cut it with the penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the roll was consumed in the fire, and that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their clothes, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Now, here's the thought here. You read the foundation here. I want you to tell you, it's a dark day. It's a dark time in Israel here. When God can, through his people and through his prophet that is shut up, speaks to another man, and they bring the word of God and says, you're wicked, you're evil, turn away, or you're going to face great punishment. And the king has the gall to take a knife out, cut up the Bible, cut up the word of God, and just throw it in the fire. You know, I know that people today, they like to mock the Bible, don't they? It would be nothing for them to burn a Bible or cut up the Bible or do this or do that with the word of God. And even in the highest of positions where you live in, there are people who just have no respect for the word of God. That's the burden that Habakkuk has. He sees what's going on. He is a prophet. He knows that God could do something. And so that's what we're going to see next week, why he asks why. So the first thing I want you to see is a dark time for Israel. And you know what? It does happen. We know the story. There is great tragedy that this happens. Babylon comes. It captures their young people. The Edomites are applauding while Babylon's carrying away the nation of Judah. This awful heartache and tragedy was standing at the door of Habakkuk's day, and God puts in Habakkuk's heart a burden for his nation of Judah. Now, I don't know about you, but I really wouldn't want to be Jeremiah. You go through and you read for 40 years, Jeremiah, repent, repent. You know what? You don't see much results. You see him faithfully just over and over. And I know there were the Baruchs of the day. And I know there must have been the Habakkuks of the day. I know there must have been the Nahums of the day. But they were few and far between. And they already had it probably figured out. Could you imagine preaching over and over and over and being persecuted for it and not seeing any results? Sometimes I think that America, nation of America, gets upset or disappointed. They don't see the results. And don't get me wrong, I know that many times the results are because we're not set apart and we're not doing what we should, so God can't use us like he would want to. But, you know, he said, why would God bring us here and have a nation like this? And you know what? God was there with Jeremiah to faithfully tell the people, return, repent, come back to me. And you know what? That's what God might have for us. That's what God might have for our nation. God might have churches like this that are telling America to repent. He's not telling us to water it down. He's telling us to go forth and teach and preach and reach, baptize those that are willing to believe. But, you know, they didn't return in Jeremiah's day. Can they return today? Yes, they can. I believe that. We've seen people saved this month at our church. We're going to have a baptism later on in this month. I mean, we've seen good things happen. But remember, in Jeremiah's time, God gave him a job that I don't know if I would have wanted. Before he, it said even before he was born, he was ordained a prophet. God had a purpose in his mind, and he was not going to bring revival to Israel. God wanted him to be a faithful witness standing on that watchtower saying, repent and return. God loves you. You need to turn back. You say, well, I'm tired. It doesn't seem like anybody's listening. Nobody listened to Jeremiah, but he was faithful year after year, day after day. I know sometimes you might get discouraged, but like Brother Beck said, continue on. Keep on doing on. The results are up to God. We leave them in God's hands. That's why we continue on trying. That's why we continue on going. He had a burden. It was a dark time that they lived in. And it's a dark time we live in today too. Let's keep on being faithful. And yes, sometimes we're going to turn around and want to ask God why. And that's what we're going to look at next week. But the second thing I want you to see is a desperate cry for God. A desperate cry for God. Take your Bibles back to Habakkuk. And I want you to see in chapter number 3, the cry that God has given Habakkuk in his heart. Remember, our burdens, if we pray and take them to God, God is going to change us. God is going to help us to see as we pray and as we're faithful to Him. He's in control. He's on the throne. And then our prayers are going to change. God, as we change, our prayers change. Look what it says in Habakkuk chapter 3, verse number 2. It says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. And in chapter number 1, Habakkuk could not believe that God was going to use Babylon to punish Israel. But here in verse number 2, he says, look, I've heard thy speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of years. So now he's asking God for revival. In the midst of years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy. You know, out of a desperate heart, he asked God for one thing. He asked for revival. His request for revival touched the heart of their deepest need. They had forsaken God, and they must return to God. And we need to remember what our greatest need is today. I know we think social programs are going to help our nation. I know we think a new president is going to help our nation. I'm not saying that can't help, but it's not the answer to our problems. Our problem is that we need a turning back to God. We need a revival. What our Sunday school teachers need to talk about in their classes is the change that needs to happen in their young people's lives. We need people who will gather in church buildings that will have zeal and enthusiasm for God and for one thing that is needed, and that is for revival in our hearts and obedience to God. As we cry out for mercy, we must remember it is a dark time we live in, and we may be on the eve of destruction. But what are we going to do with that burden? Are we going to talk about amongst our friends? I think we should be a good citizen. I think that's biblical. I think it's right that we should do everything we can to use our voice to stand for God. But at the same time, our greatest need in this day and time is a spiritual need. And it is our churches that have failed us even more than our government. The third thing I want you to see, there is a dependence upon God here. A dependence upon God. You see a dark day, a desperate cry, and a dependence. Look what it says in Habakkuk chapter number 2. Look what it says in verse number 4. Behold, his soul which is lifted up and is not upright in him. And that next phrase, but the just shall live by his faith. The just shall live by his faith. This is how we're supposed to live, depending upon God. You go all the way at the end of chapter number 3. And it says in verse number 17, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vines. He's saying even if there's a famine, the labor of the olive shall fail. You keep on going, can't get much worse. The fields shall yield no meat. The flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. He's saying, even if everything bad happened. He said, verse number 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord is my strength. And he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon my places to the chief singer on my string instruments. He depended upon God. Chapter 1, he's asking why. Chapter 3, he's to the point saying, God, whatever you bring, I'm still going to trust you. I'm still going to depend upon you. Is he seeking for revival? Is he sitting back not doing anything? No. He's praying for it. He's looking for it. I want to encourage you. Like I say, this is more a foundational message. I know we have a burden. I know a lot of us like to talk about all the bad things that are going on and how we can fix it. And I agree, there are a lot of things we can do to help. But the greatest thing we can do to help is to be, like we talked about this past Sunday morning from Acts 1:8, be spirit-filled. Be concerned about being spirit-filled. Be concerned about your witness. And be concerned about others. That's truly what's going to help change this world. Do you have a burden tonight? Take it to God. Leave it at God's feet. Let God make you what he wants you to be. And that's what he does. He takes Habakkuk from one spot, changes Habakkuk from this conversation that they have back and forth. Nice book. It won't take us, I know some books take us a whole year to go through. It won't take us a whole year, probably a few months, maybe 3 months to go through it, maybe 2.5 months, something like that. There's a lot of good stuff in it. But as you lay this foundation, I hope you can see that we should have a burden for our nation, but what should we do with it? It was a dark hour back then. It was a dark time back then. They had the eve of destruction, but they knew it was coming. God tells Habakkuk it's coming. We don't know when and if it's going to happen, but we have just as a dark time in our nation today. What are we going to do? A dark time, a desperate cry, but we're going to depend on God. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation. Thank you for listening so well. I appreciate the encouragement from Brother Beck, and I also think about the burden we're supposed to have. What is it that God wants to change?